Good morning, and thanks for tuning in KSLM this fine day here on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM as we now present Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use on this Tuesday, October 20th. So glad to have you tuning in today, continuing the conversation as we bring you news that you can use to encourage, educate, engage, and empower you. I want to continue to hear from you. If you have questions in regards to our guests, you want to be a part of the conversation, hour two today is the time to call in, and you can call in at 503-589-1220. I'm Stacy Ann, and your questions have been amazing, and your insight has been incredible. If you want to send me an email, Stacy, S-T-A-C-E-Y, at KSLM.news, that would be fantastic. Today's show is brought to us by Bill Sunderland, Country Financial, Sunderland Agency. Give Bill a call at 503-885-0789, SunderlandAgency.com. As we move through the next few weeks, of course, with the election right around the corner, we are all keeping an eye on everything election, and the big process is so very important to know. Here in Oregon in particular, we have mail-in voting, and over the weekend, I got my ballot. Did you get your ballot? We also were curious if Terry's registration went through, because as of the final day, I think it was the 13th, we went online and, oh my goodness, we didn't see that his registration had gone through. And so they had an opportunity for you to register that day online, and we filled that out and we submitted it, and then we printed off another sheet to say, send this in. But we had already sent in his registration. Well, sometime between the 13th and yesterday, we figured out that Terry is registered indeed, and we're excited about that. So the ballot, and it said the ballot was sent on the 16th of October. So you can kind of track your vote on the Secretary of State site. That's really exciting. It helps me anyway feel a little comforted knowing that I can track my vote. And now that I have my ballot, I'm filling it out, and I'm getting trying to get educated on all these issues that are on the ballot. And so I'm going through these, and I've already kind of have an idea of where I'm at with my candidates and stuff. So then we're going to learn the process a little more of what to do from here. And I believe that the Secretary of State position in this state is probably one of the most critical positions in the state. I know a lot of times the top of the ticket, like the governor and a lot of our state and House representatives, they're pretty important because they're in our community. Even our mayor and our city is important. But the Secretary of State is really key. And I think it's important that people realize what this position is. What do they do? Why is it so instrumental in each state that the Secretary of State be the right person for the job? We're going to have that discussion today, and I'm really excited to have Kim Thatcher in the studio this morning, and we're going to talk a little more about what is a Secretary of State, what are the duties, and how does that apply to our day-to-day life. Good morning to you, Kim. How are you?
Good morning, Stacy Ann.
Oh, so glad to have you in the studio today. It's been a few months since you were here.
Yeah, right. I was trying to figure out how many years ago that was.
It feels like a season ago or so, huh?
Yeah.
Well, tell us a little bit about yourself. For those that have never known you or even had the pleasure of meeting you in person, tell us about yourself. How did you become interested in running for Secretary of State, and a little bit about your family and the work you've done previously?
Wow. Well, my parents met in... Just kidding. I started my own business when I moved to Kaiser about 29 years ago, and I didn't start the business right then. We had just bought our first house. My youngest daughter was an infant. I had three daughters under the age of five, and then my husband became unemployed. I had always wanted to start my own business, and so I did. That was kind of the impetus. That was what drew me to it. And so I was down in my basement, and I'd been around construction for many years, and it's kind of what I figured I would do, just kind of end up doing whatever a contractor didn't want to do. So, and end up being kind of a little niche of, doing all, basically, I think my card said, we'll do traffic control, concrete testing, erosion control, and other stuff. Mm. I mean, that was seriously it. And then I, you know, finally worked our way out of the basement and hired my husband after a couple of years of being in business. And that was kind of hard for him. But it became clear about 12 years later, got an office going, real office going, and I really needed to start paying attention to what was happening in Salem, not mm-hmm. just national politics, because really the government closest to home is the one that affects right. you most deeply, you know, one way or the other. So it was brought to my attention that there was some things happening in our legislature I wasn't too happy with. So there was going to be a referendum, which is when people will, you know, after something is passed in the legislature, people will sign a petition to say, hey, let's put this on the ballot. Let's put this up for a question to the people. And that's what we did. We mm-hmm. were able to put it on the ballot. And we said, hey, people were saying, we've got to get a different representative in there because he voted for this thing that mm. was not lined up with how we were. And pretty soon people were asking me if I would want to run. I'm like, no, no. So that was not on my life's to-do list. I mean, paying attention to politics is one thing. Being in it is quite another. Mm-hmm. So eventually, that's what happened. I ran for the Oregon House in 2004 and I won. I thought I'd hate it. And I actually enjoyed talking to people that you would think, no, there's no way they'd have anything in common. They would mm-hmm. not want to do anything together to move Oregon forward or do anything that would improve life here. Mm-hmm. But it was really kind of fun to meet some of these other people on the other side of the aisle, you know, those people right. that I just thought I'd be going into this fighting and bickering, that would just be conflict all the time. It was not the case. That was actually not the case, much to my pleasant surprise. So I kept with it. And then fast forward to being, you know, elected to the Senate in 2014 and then again in 2018. I'm now in the middle of my term. It looked, and I had always thought in the back of my mind, if I ever ran for a statewide office, it would be Secretary of State mm-hmm. because that is where my focus has been in the legislature. I have focused on from ballots to business, archives to audits. Those are the four main divisions, mm-hmm. Not necessarily aimed that way. It's just kind of a little
how
moniker that helps
out.
You remember. Mm-hmm. But those are the things that I've been working on, and good government issues and transparency, accountability, integrity in government, all these things that I just really had a passion to want to improve. So it just, nobody was stepping up. I didn't think I'd be coming back yet mm-hmm. to do this. I figured maybe back when I, you know, my 60 or so, but that's coming up actually pretty quickly. Yeah. I'll be turning 56 at the end of the month.
Ah.
Yikes. So it just, the time is right. And here I am.
And here you are.
Yeah.
And so in those committees, as a senator, and you're also a representative, you've learned a lot about Oregon in the last few years that you can see how it's operating. You know, you already go in there with boots on the ground, in a sense, and this is an exciting time, and I believe the Secretary of State in each state is so critical. Let's talk a little bit about that job description.
Okay, well, most people are familiar with the fact that the Secretary of State is the referee of elections,
mm-hmm.
and basically we have 36 different elections going on, one mm-hmm. in each of our counties. That's actually a feature, a good security feature. We don't mm-hmm. have a centralized thing going on there mm-hmm. to be hacked or whatever. So there's that, and then there's the corporation division, the business registry, and within that there's also the small business advocate, something I can talk about mm-hmm. in a bit if you'd like,
mm-hmm.
because there's some history there.
Yes.
And then there's the archives division. That's where the public records are.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been a big proponent of getting better access to public records for people, the media, all that. And then there's the audits division. And that's, I've been the longest serving member of the Legislative Audits Committee, where we would just get reports a lot of times about what audits had been performed. But then just in the last couple of years, thank goodness, we're getting more information connecting the dots, if mm-hmm. you will, between the good work of the auditors and the agencies being audited, so that the agencies being audited are having to commit to the recommendations or
state why they reject the recommendations. Mm-hmm. And so there's that accountability finally being brought to bear in the Legislative Audits Committee. So there's those are the main divisions. And then there's the land board, that the Secretary of State is one of three members of the land board, along with the governor and the state treasurer. Mm-hmm. So those are the three. And they just, you know, take votes on how to handle state
yes.
lands for the benefit of Oregon using sound sustainable practices, something like that. And so the biggest thing coming up this year, because it's only every 10 years that a Secretary of State may have to deal with it, and that is redistricting.
Yes, and I think that this is something that I don't think is talked about. People don't know. I think the general constituent doesn't understand how the Secretary of State kind of oversees this next area that you're going to talk about. I think it's important. Talk to us a little bit about the what's going to happen here in the next year.
Well, after the census is taken, then we have, they're counting all the people in the state, mm-hmm. and then the districts are redrawn. So that's how people can live in one house for 20, 30 years, but have different representatives that are in there. Because mm-hmm. I remember once upon a time when I moved to moved to Kaiser, Peter Courtney was my state representative.
Okay, wow.
And then he wasn't, and because the lines were redrawn.
Right.
And I'm like, how'd that happen? I wasn't paying attention, you know, what was happening. That was just basically the boundary lines for the house seats, and then of course the Senate seats overlay two House seats mm-hmm. or House districts mm-hmm. and then the congressional lines will overlay Senate districts. So mm-hmm. it'll just we're slated to add another congressperson to Oregon. So we'll have six.
Okay.
Likely.
Right.
I'm pretty sure. But what happens first is that the maps are drawn by the legislators mm-hmm. for their legislative districts. And I was there during the 2011 session when that happened. It was the first time in 100 years, I believe, or second time maybe in 100 years, where did not go to the Secretary of State, that actually it stayed, you know, they agreed to something as proposed. But, you know, after going through that, I really liked the idea that people were presenting of different independent redistricting commissions. It just felt like, no, let's not do it this mm-hmm. way anymore. And some of the reason that it was done that way is because if the Republicans didn't agree, and the Republicans were not in control, yes, they had a 30 members and 30, you know, it was a split House, mm-hmm. but overall the legislature was not controlled by Republicans, and the Republicans decided to agree to it because they really believed that the Secretary of State would have drawn very partisan lines, and it would have been even worse than what we had.
I love you laying down the foundation of what the job requires of Secretary of State. When we get back from this break, I want to ask you what your plan is when you get in the office, all right? You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, enjoying a wonderful conversation with Kim Thatcher. She's running for Secretary of State here in Oregon. It's good to be informed, friends. Be sure this will be on a podcast later. Share with your friends and family about Kim Thatcher. We'll be back after this.
Hello, good morning. How you doing?
It's a good morning. Wake up to a brand new day. This morning, I'm stepping on my way.
Good morning, Salem. So glad to have you tuning in this morning. Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Hello, I'm Stacey Ann. And it truly is fall, this October 20th already, 7:22 in the morning, and taking a look at our weather forecast today, 47 at the KSLM studios, 62 for our high today, overnight low 46. And as we move towards Friday, it looks like we'll see some rain and going down in temperature, about 52 degrees, and towards the weekend a little cooler as well. Even could see high 40s for Sunday. So I know I kind of like to look out, maybe it's the mom in me. You know, it's like first thing I wake up, what's the weather? You know, how do we dress? And right now it's layers, dress in layers. And I did something very, very important and kind of ceremonial. I put away the sandals and I pulled out the boots. And as a girl, I don't know, I don't think the guys struggle with this as much, but it's always kind of a thing, you know, moving into the fall, you know, getting prepared. I bought my first pair of rain boots and a rain jacket now that I'm living in Oregon. And I'm looking forward to the fall and the rain weather and the cooler and the leaves blowing around it. I am a fall person, and I'm curious. I've got Senator Kim Thatcher, and she's running for Secretary of State. I've got her here in the studio. And Kim, do you have a favorite season of the year?
Absolutely fall, hands down. And by the way, I never even put away my boots.
You wore them all the time, didn't you? Yeah, and the other thing that I've noticed about you, you are a classy woman. You really are, and you have a sense of style that I just love and adore, and I love your scarves, and I love your boots, and I love and it's just fun to watch people and how that they conduct themselves, and you have such a personable manner about you. You are who you are everywhere you go, and I love that about you, that you are connecting with people, and you're ready to represent Oregon. You've been representing Oregon all these years, and now you're ready to move into that next position, Secretary of State. So what is your goal when you get there? Talk to us a little bit of what you hope to see happen in that position.
Well, there's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
There's
Let's
a
get
lot.
Going.
I might be a little bit too ambitious here, but with elections, I want to give a top to bottom review of every step of our elections process, whether it's, you know, registering to vote to counting that very last ballot, making sure that we have every process scrutinized, make sure we've got the best situation that we can have. I think we've got pretty darn good safeguards here in Oregon that you might not even see happening in other states, and that's probably why they're making the headlines at times. But when it comes to Oregon, I think I use the term white hat hacker just to kind of get somebody to test the systems, test the boundaries to make sure that we're not, you know, inadvertently leaving ourselves open to something, some problems. I would like to relook at and revamp the ORSTAR program. And what that is the campaign contribution and expenditure reporting. It's kind of difficult to use the program. And it's also a little difficult to really follow the money. There's not a connection. You look at some other states, it's like you can link and go and just really follow the track back without having to, you know, do a lot of things. But I would also like to look at postmarks to allow, and I know some people have some trepidation on that, and that is something that, for instance, if you put your ballot in the mail too late, and even within the parameters suggested by the Secretary of State's office, which is like about 6 days, 6 to 7 days ahead of time, it's possible your ballot won't make it there in time. And that's why I think, well, because if you're especially going to be paying for postage like we're doing right now, then people are sometimes mistaken with the thought that, well, the state's paying the postage, therefore it'll count if I, as long as I get it in before election, you know, the 8 p.m. on election day. So that is not true, because in Oregon, we don't look at postmarks at all. Now, there's different ideas out there to maybe accept postmarks on the day of, like Washington does, or perhaps look at a modified postmark date, like the Saturday before. County clerks are more inclined as a group to lean towards that, you know, to at least maybe the Saturday before, because that's usually when people are voting, is most of them anyway, are on the weekends. So looking at that, looking at the audits division, really looking at the challenges facing Oregon, and then just audit for truth, you know, look at what's happening and find some suggestions and ways to move forward, make some reforms.
Let me ask you a question to stop you there for a moment on the audits. You audit government, right? So all of these different areas, all these different departments within the Oregon state government, whether it be human services, whether it be, you know, Department of Transportation, or the hot one, right? Unemployment. Or employment office, we've known it as unemployment office, and some of the stuff there that has snagged a few folks this year, right?
Well, yes, absolutely. Thankfully, the Oregon Employment Department is under an audit right now. It was on the schedule by Dennis Richardson, the former Secretary of State, who unfortunately passed away last year. He would be sailing onto an easy reelection right now, and I would fully support him in that. But that was scheduled to be on the audits for a review. An audit, deep audit, was last year, you know, by the end of last year, but that didn't happen. So they are looking at it now. They had been given money a decade or more ago, and to upgrade their computer systems that are from the a lot of their technologies is from the 80s. Some of their systems are from the 90s. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it's fun to be vintage, but not in that way.
Right, so, right. Yeah. Not when it's harmful to the people, right? And that's the beauty of the audit division, is you have an opportunity to look out for Oregonians and make sure that these departments are doing what they say they're supposed to be doing. Right.
And in this case, we know what the problems are as far as getting, but why didn't it get upgraded? Why is it 10, 11 years later, we're still looking at maybe yet another 5 years before it's upgraded. I mean, this is ridiculous.
Yes, yes.
And so those are really important, and thankfully that is underway right now.
Good. And so we're going to go to a break here in just a moment. When we get back, I want to talk about the one division that you're kind of excited about, the, what did you call it, the business support.
So small business advocate.
Small business advocate. I want to talk a little bit about that. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. We're having a wonderful discussion this morning with Senator Kim Thatcher, who is going for Secretary of State here in Oregon. And it's a critical position for our state, every state, I think, in the union, because so much behind the scenes work goes on to make sure Oregon is working and serving us, the people, right? And so as we move towards the election, and certainly most of us are getting our ballots, and if you haven't received your ballot yet, I encourage you to go on the Secretary of State site and put in your name and make sure you track your ballot. It says right there, mine was sent and I received it over the weekend, and Terry's is on its way. So we're excited about that. So where is your ballot? Have you received it? Are you filling it out? Well, this next week, we're going to continue to have candidates like Senator Kim Thatcher in the studio, so you get to learn a little more about him. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use on this Tuesday and every day. We'll be back after this. Good morning to you. Thank you for tuning in to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Trusting you're having a terrific Tuesday so far, maybe sipping on your coffee or hot tea. You can listen to us at 1220 AM or 104.3 FM and as well streaming online at kslm.news. And want to remind you that these shows that I'm doing in the morning, hour one and hour two, I am producing and putting them up on our website as a podcast. And I want to really encourage you to listen and share. You can grab the link and share it on your social media posts, and certainly get your friends and family and fellow Oregonians aware of who the candidates are running for election, so that they can make choices to choose candidates that line up with your personal values. And I think this is really important, that we do our research, and having Senator Kim Thatcher in the studio today has been such a delight, because we can ask her these questions. And we're going to open up the phone lines in the second hour, just to let you know, 503-589-1220. So in the 8 o'clock hour, we'll open up to questions. And we're also going to try something. And Kim, if you're up for it, we did this yesterday. Maybe do a little Facebook Live. We'll see how that goes, so people can kind of see behind the scenes. How does radio work? You know, I always joke about having a face for radio, you know. And we were having a great discussion this last segment about kind of what your goals are and what you're excited about in the Secretary of State position when you get there, because you've been a senator, you've been a representative, you've been serving the people of Oregon well over the last few years. So you've seen things, you know, and you've served on committees that help support the Secretary of State's office. So you're already boots on the ground, ready to roll when you get in the position in January, right? So talk to us more about what else you want to do.
Well, one of the more exciting things is the business advocate, the small business advocate. Mm-hmm. And that is born of my frustration and my own personal experience within the private sector, coming up against uncompromising, recalcitrant, I mean, you can use a whole bunch of adjectives, giant Goliath agency. And I said, we have got to get a business advocate in government, somebody who can be that liaison between the small businesses out there and then these gargantuan agencies, or any size agency at this point, that can really create problems for small business. And basically the bill that was passed said, where in government should we put this? Because I was originally thinking maybe it should go in Business Oregon or something like that, mm-hmm. which is actually an executive branch agency. But in 2013, it was determined, well, let's put it in the Secretary of State's office. I hadn't even thought of that at the time. I like that idea, and I wholeheartedly support it. So there it is, and they are there, and they do a great job reaching out to small businesses, helping what they can do for Oregon, I think, is help the small businesses get back on their feet that have just been knocked down by the COVID shutdowns. And I mean, not only regulation, taxing, and taxes and licensing issues, but those kind of issues that just are decimating our small businesses right now, and try to help them get them back on their feet. I want to be able to figure out what's happening in different industry sectors, different regions, like minority-owned businesses, the things where there's a commonality, mm-hmm. and figure out what their needs are and advocate for them. That's sure. what the small business advocate should be doing. So that's what I want to do in that office.
I absolutely love that, because having been in this position since March, right before the lockdown, I've been able to bring in several businesses, whether they were open or not, and talk to these leaders, these independent entrepreneurial spirits that are small business, and they're part of the Oregon economy, and they're overwhelmed with all of the brand new regulations, and many of them, they're touched by several different organizations, and sometimes those organizations and their guidelines and their requirements of them just to stay open during this pandemic is burdensome and costly. And they're already facing a great economic downturn in their day-to-day business and their livelihood. And so to hear that there's an advocate on the way that will serve these businesses and be, on their side and help also give a picture to those that are making the laws to say, hey, this is burdensome, and bring the testimony and bring showing the armies of people that says this isn't going to work. It's a great theory, but in practicality, right. it doesn't work. And so that's awesome. I'm excited to hear about that.
Well, I just picture these small businesses, and then the government's just out there wrapping red tape around their throats and their hands, their legs, and just kind of keeping them from doing anything. It's just they're hogtied so much right now, and it's very, very hard.
And for the future of Oregon and the sustainability of our state, and for our children's livelihoods in the future, we've got to look at that, and we've got to be a state that's open for business. How can we come and assist business? And again, friends, listeners, our Secretary of State position and who's in there is critical to an open for business and coming alongside our businesses. So I'm glad for you to be in that position, and I'm excited to hear what else you have. So that's one of the offices. Anything else that we haven't covered?
Well, public records.
Oh, sure.
Hugely important. I'm the first senator to serve and be appointed to the Public Records Advisory Council. Mm-hmm. This was put in place by the legislature because there was just so much mm-hmm. difficulty from people and difficulty for media even to get a hold of public records within our government, just so people can scrutinize and know what's going on mm-hmm. and have that open government that we should have. But it was just not happening. Either the agencies would drag their feet, or they didn't know what their requirements were, or they would just put such a high price tag on being able to get these records to the folks that they're asking for that you might as well have just said, no, you can't see it because that's just what was happening. So this public records advisory council has at their head a public records advocate. And mm-hmm. in recent years, we had somebody named Ginger McCall. She was doing a great job, but she was being asked to kind of hide things from the advocacy council, or advisory council. So she kind of went out public with it mm-hmm. and said, hey, this isn't right. I will be resigning because this is not right. Besides, I'll probably be fired by the governor anyway. The governor is the one who appoints right now. And so since that time, we've been trying to bring more independence to that office. Mm-hmm. I had a bill that was requested by the Public Records Advisory Council, and I sponsored it along with the other legislative member, Karen Power, who is a representative, a Democrat, and mm-hmm. we together had this bill that would bring more independence so that the advisory council would be selecting this advocate, not the governor. It'd be kind of patterned after the government ethics commission and how that's run. It didn't pass because of what happened in the last session where it kind of blew up. But we will be continuing to work on it. In fact, I was able to carry it across the Senate floor. It just, it reached the House floor, and then they left, the Republicans left to deny a quorum for other reasons. And we can go into that if you like. But anyhow, they... it just didn't get done the last session.
Well, and having an independent office like that, I think, would be really critical. Now, let me ask you a question. This is more for my own benefit. Years ago, I volunteered when I went to Sprague High School in the state historian office. And it's like the history of Oregon. And they had a historian. And I'm guessing that's part of records and things like that would fall under that. So that was my first exposure to government. And that was so fun. And I remember just the awesomeness of being at the Capitol and behind the scenes and getting to know the great people that work in Oregon. And so that's good to know, that history and having access, certainly, because how can we make good decisions if we don't know what's really going on?
That's
so that's good to know that there's some work there in that office. Now, as we talk about this position, I think something that's really good for folks to know, that even though you're on the Republican ticket, this is really, in a sense, a nonpartisan position. It really has to be a position, a Secretary of State, in a sense, that you're working with everybody, no matter what. And talk about that, how important that is. And I know the predecessor in this position, he was Republican, correct? And I love the fact that you can have differing, you know, governor that's Democrat and a Secretary of State that's Republican. It doesn't have to be straight the same party. I love that. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, I do want to approach the office similar to how the former Secretary of State, the late Dennis Richardson, did, and that people wanted somebody in there that would serve all Oregonians, regardless of how they vote, how they thought, how they looked, what they believed. And I want to approach that office in the same way, as it's a managerial, administrative sort of office, but it has nonpartisan duties. You're looking at elections, making government better through audits. You're looking at public records, making sure that's accessible to everybody. It's their public records.
Yes.
You have, you know, all these nonpartisan type things going on, and the corporation division, that's not partisan, really.
Right, right.
Just trying to get business back on their feet. That's how I want to look at it. I don't want to use this office. I don't want to be sitting there. Like, that's why I want to have an independent redistricting commission, much like Dennis Richardson was looking at putting in place. I want to pattern it after what was in the initiative petition that was being sent around this year. People, not politicians, if that makes if that makes people remember what I'm talking about. But that's definitely something that I think Dennis Richardson raised the bar in that office, and I want to continue that. And it should not be political.
What are things that he did that you want to continue that bipartisan move forward for the state of Oregon in that position?
Well, he did outreach. He had active outreach to communities that are, you know, marginalized communities, and he just made sure that they were included, and we got input from, you know, the Secretary of State's office got input from them, and he tried to listen actively, intentionally listen to what their concerns were and try to find ways to help alleviate some of those concerns. And so I want to do that too.
Well, and I know that it's important, because this is our Oregon. We the people, we want people that are going to serve with us in this position. And I'm so glad that you're taking the time to hang out. We're getting some good deep stuff going on about Secretary of State. I'm learning a bunch of things. I hope our listeners are as well. We're going to continue the discussion after this. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use on this Tuesday and every day. We'll be back after this. Good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Having a wonderful day in the neighborhood. It's 7:50 in the morning, and our weather forecast for today going to be about 62 degrees, partly cloudy sky. Currently 47 degrees in the KSLM studio. Want to say thanks to Dave and Paige Smith Realty One Group in Willamette Valley, ready to go above and beyond to serve you in your real estate needs. 503-939-7099. And right now I'm telling you, it's good to have a real estate professional on your side. If you're thinking about purchasing, or maybe you're thinking, oh, I wonder what my home's value is. Maybe I want to trade up or size down. It's a good time to talk to Dave and Paige Smith. Continuing the conversation this morning, we are in election season, and I am so excited. I mean, I can't hardly wait until November 3rd to get over on many, many levels, not only because I am kind of an election junkie, and for years, I was just sharing with Senator Thatcher here that I never thought I'd actually have an opportunity to be in this position at this season and time to be a talk show host talking to such incredible people who really want to do good. And it really is an honor. And I'm one of those that I'll stay up until the last vote is counted to find out what the results are in election for years past. And I've been that way since I was in high school. And it is kind of fun to be here on the ground in Oregon. And I had a lot of people say, why in the world would you be moving to Oregon? Why would you, a conservative woman, want to live in Oregon? And I say, because it's my Oregon. I went to high school here, and I believe there are incredible good people here on both sides of the aisles. I have many, many friends who are non-affiliated voters, who are Democrats, who are Republicans, and I love them all. And I think we're better for it, too. I think we are. But I again say, vote your values. Know who you are and where your values line up, and then vote them and show up. And most times, it's so important. When people have critical things to say about the government, my question back to them is, are you registered to vote? Are you going to be a part of the solution? It's easy to say to the darkness, curse at it. But unless you're part of the solution, it's not worth our time, I think. And I believe that we have some people that can bring some solutions to the table that we need here in Oregon. And our Secretary of State office is so critical, friends. And we're in the middle of election. And Senator Thatcher, as we move forward, I'm a little not sure about this voting by mail. Can you talk to us a little bit about this and what we should do, like a person like me, to make sure that my vote is counted this election? Can you walk us through that?
Well, we have drop sites, official mm-hmm. drop sites. Look for them that have the county label and they say, official drop mm-hmm. site, ballot drop site. I would look for those. I think those are the most straightforward way. Get your ballot into those. You're not going to worry about it being lost in the mail. Mm-hmm. You won't be costing taxpayers extra money. Mm-hmm. it'll just be very straightforward, especially if you can do it within your own county, because then it's not going to be, though you can go to any county to drop off your ballot. Say you work in Wasco County, but mm-hmm. you live in Multnomah County, that you can drop off your ballot in Wasco County.
That's good to know. Yeah.
And so that's nice. But you can also double check and make sure that your ballot has been received by your county. You can log on to the Secretary of State's website. You can just, I don't want to use that term, use your favorite search engine, mm-hmm. and you just look for SOS Oregon Track My Ballot, and it'll come up, and you'll find where you can, register and, right. Find out if your ballot has been received. Mm-hmm. And so that's good. Now, because voter registration deadline is, this year it was October 13th, mm-hmm. and then ballots get sent out October 14th, because of that, some people might change their registration on October 13th. They're already registered to vote. So they're already slated to receive, let's say, especially during the primary, it's mm-hmm. most noticeable because mm-hmm. there are different ballots. Mm-hmm. You might receive a ballot for the Democrat Party, but then because you changed your party registration to non-affiliated or whatever, you will get also the non-affiliated ballot. Mm-hmm. If you vote the Democrat Party one, that will get counted. But then if you decide, wait a minute, I was supposed to get the non-affiliated, mm-hmm. then you can vote that one instead, and it'll cancel out the previous
okay.
one. So because there's a
tracking
a code
system.
Yeah, yes. That's associated with your ballot.
Well, and it's a little tricky because you have to, you fill out your ballot and you have to make sure you don't put an X. You have to fill in the lines, right? Just some real practical
with
stuff.
With blue or black ink.
With blue or black mm-hmm. ink. And these are real practical. It seems elementary, but it's really important because mm-hmm. you don't want your ballot not to count.
And then sign your yes. envelope on the outside. Make sure it's as close to the signature you have
at the time that you registered.
Right.
Right. And that's the difference for me, because in the past I've just gone to, you know, the place where I voted mm-hmm. and I've showed my ID, you know, mm-hmm. and they see that it's who I am, you know, yeah. and giving me my ballot. So this is a little different. And I'm like, I wonder how I think I signed kind of the same. I don't know. Yeah. I hope I sign it right, you know.
And then they have picture of your signature mm-hmm. and they're comparing your envelope mm-hmm. with that signature.
Good.
And if it doesn't match and you have witnesses watching it from both parties, mm-hmm. I would like to make it a little bit more visible. And mm-hmm. I'm hearing that in some counties, these watchers are just seeing the process, but not really seeing the signatures themselves.
Yes.
And being able to raise a question.
Sure.
That needs to be changed too.
Okay.
And I would like to have maybe more cameras on things. And that would help with situations like we're facing right now with COVID.
Yes.
So,
yes.
You know, that I think would be a good improvement. But there are a lot of safeguards in place. We just need to perfect them.
So then I drop it off, like I get it done, and maybe tomorrow I drop it off at the county, Marion County courthouse mm-hmm. or the drop-off box. And then they take it in, and then I could still track it that they've received it.
Mm-hmm.
Do they wait till election day, or do they start processing those now? Do you know how that works?
Well, they will. I think there's a timeline, and I think it's a week ahead of time, they can start like slitting the envelopes.
Yep.
And then they can start separating them, mm-hmm. like the security envelopes that are inside mm-hmm. the outer envelope, separating those. And then at some point they'll separate them. So they'll start processing, but not necessarily, you know, running
tallying,
through the,
yeah,
tallying
okay.
until 8
okay.
p.m.
Okay. Well, this is interesting. Back stuff to know on a mail-in. And this has taken years to work out as a process. And I can mm-hmm. see while in some states people are upset that they've gotten a month and a half to figure this all out.
Ridiculous.
And that's taken us 20 years
right.
to perfect, in a sense. And I think there's accessibility when people can vote by mail. More people, you know, you're not counting on the weather, you're not counting on,
yeah,
you know, all of
true.
Those kinds of things. So as Secretary of State, certainly you'll be a little more involved and be able to look and make sure that that's working best for Oregonians. Now, we're going to transition here the next hour, talk more campaign things, but we've covered some great ground already about who you are, why you want this position, what you've been doing to set you up to take this position. And as we go into the next hour and talk about a little bit more campaigning, I do want folks who only maybe can hang out with us this first hour to know what your website is, how they can get involved, what kinds of things you need in the short amount of time we have left.
All right.
What's your website?
KimThatcher.com.
Easy enough. You can get involved with Kim's campaign. Stick around for the next hour because we're going to get more in details about the campaign. I got a whole list of questions I want to ask you, Kim. You ready?
Oh, boy.
Oh, and we're going to open up the phone lines as well. You can give us a call, 503-589-1220. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Thanks for tuning in. Stay tuned for Hour 2 coming up next.